July, I was a participant in a week-long consultation on mission held at a conference center outside of Madrid, Spain. The participants were 23 bishops of the Episcopal Church in the United States and 30 African bishops with whom the American bishops have some sort of partnership in mission. And the name of the conference was Walking to Emmaus. Perhaps the most miraculous part of that week-long conference is that 23 American bishops and 30 African bishops spent a week without once mentioning a sexuality debate. Our common theme was mission in the name of Christ. The African bishop who was there as my partner is Daniel Dengul, who at the time was bishop of the Diocese of Renk, R-E-N-K, one of the dioceses of the church, Episcopal Church in the Sudan. One of the outcomes of that consultation is that Bishop Dengul had a vision for the church empowering leaders of the church in the Sudan to become agents of reconciliation in that war-torn land. And he asked whether Virginia could help. So we sent our full-time director of overseas mission back to the Sudan in January to help put on a conference on training people in ministries of reconciliation. And along with Trinity Parish in New York City, we made the financial provision to make the conference possible. Then in February, Bishop Dengul was elected Archbishop and Primate of the Church in the Sudan. He will be enthroned, in their language, which we really don't use in Virginia. He will be enthroned a week from this coming Sunday in Juba, the major city of southern Sudan, and Shannon Johnson, our bishop coadjutor, will be there representing us. I returned last Friday evening from a week in the southern Sudan. I was the first American bishop to be present with Bishop Dengul since his election as the primate of the church in the southern Sudan, and was powerfully moved by what I saw and what I experienced. The Christian community in the southern Sudan is about 12 million people. In the whole country, about 12 million people out of a population of 40 million. The Roman Catholics are the single largest group, and the Episcopal Church in the Sudan is the second largest group. So it is a significant presence. I was there with a team from our diocese who were trying to support the church in the Sudan. On the first day we were in the Diocese of Rumbek, which is one of the most southernmost cities in the country, we participated in the dedication of a new church that they had built. On the next day, I preached in the Rumbek Cathedral, and their cathedral consists of several hundred plastic chairs under a huge tree. And I preached to 1,400 people gathered under this tree. And then the next day, we traveled about 30 miles, and it took us an hour and a half to do so because of the condition of the roads, out to a new secondary school that was built by the contributions from one of our parishes here in Virginia. And it's only the second secondary school in this entire province of Sudan. I was struck by the unrelenting poverty of the people. I've been to South Africa twice and had seen the poverty of the informal settlements, but 20 minutes drive away in Johannesburg and Cape Town, our first world cities. Not so in Sudan. Hardly any industry. The economy is kept afloat by the many non-government organizations, many white Toyotas with UN painted on the side, the World Food Program, and many others, I was struck by the energy and the faith and the enthusiastic faith of the Christian people in the Sudan, and was so turned on by the palpable presence of the living Christ in their midst. The Emmaus story is one of the three sources of how we understand Jesus to be present with his church. He is known to us in the breaking of the bread. That is a promise from the Emmaus story. He is known to us whenever two or three gather in his name. He has promised to be present with his people. And he is present to us as we minister to the least of his brothers and sisters, the poor, the hungry, the naked, the imprisoned. I experienced all three of those instances of the presence of Christ in the Sudan, and realized again how we are called to mission, which means we are called to walk with Jesus on the road to Emmaus and to recognize him as we minister to the poor, as we build up the common life of Christ, and as we know him in the breaking of the bread. The Emmaus story from Luke is the source and the inspiration of that wonderful popular hymn that we sang so beautifully last night, "Abide with me, stay with us, for it is evening." Our prayer is that Jesus will always be present with us in the darkness, in the evenings of our own lives. And we are promised that he will be. But the core of the Emmaus story is that Jesus meets us on the road. To paraphrase Jim Lyon, Jesus meets us in movement. And that movement is always towards mission. Mission in proclaiming his presence, in demonstrating his welcome as we welcome others into the body, and in ministering to the poor in his name. So I hope we will leave this mountain as we go back into our valleys and on our walks and remember the promise of Jesus to be with us on our roads as we continue to expand his mission in the world to which he sent us. Amen.